Welcome back, everybody. I am back here for another round of Dancing with the Stars, season 24. We are here for the semifinals. Ooh, ah. I am joined here by my lovely co-host, Kelly, who did an amazing job filling in for me last week with the lovely Lita Brillman. How are you doing this week, Kelly?
I'm good. Glad to have you back. I'm really glad. I do have to say I'm very happy that they've cut it out. They used to do this like quarterfinals, semifinals, like, and they go down. And you were basically in the top eight and they were like, you're in the quadruple finals or whatever. So I'm really happy we're just going straight. We're semifinals this week, finals next week. Pretty simple stuff.
Done.
Really getting down there. Fast.
I know. I forgot that this Mike was like, isn't it the finals this week? And I was like, well, it's one of the finals. Like, I was like, I don't know. It was like really great podcaster of me. I was like, I'm not sure. And that's kind of the thing with Dancing with the Stars. I feel like they do change it up quite a bit. So it is hard to sort of know when it's going to end without sort of looking at the TV schedule. Because they do sort of, you're right, they change it up quite a bit, whether or not it's going to be a final, semifinal, quadruple, whatever final. But we're back and you can, the mirror ball is so close, Kelly. Can you feel it? Can you see it?
So close. I'm so excited.
Smell that glue.
I love this time of year when it's all the season finales happening all at once and everything is like,
oh my God, I know.
Love it. Logistical question for you, because as our listeners definitely know, I don't pay quite enough attention to the logistics of how the show works in terms of like remembering that the person that has immunity gets an extra 3 points and that's why they're not in jeopardy, like duh. So my question is, next week they're doing competition on Monday, eliminate and like finale on Tuesday,
right?
So all of the points from this week, where do they go? Are they going to be combined with next week's Monday night performance?
I like that you think that I know that.
you know stuff.
Yeah, so I think that, no, you're right. I mean, I do sometimes know things. So I think that what happens is that it all combines together and that they do also have, that's why they do split it up, because there is that competition aspect to the Monday night show as well. So I think that it's combined with this week. Those points are combined with what happens on Monday night to reveal what happens on Tuesday night.
So this week is weighted the same as what happens next week. So like Normani might be in trouble. She had sort of a weird week for
her. She did have a weird week. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I know we have some people out there in our listener geist who are a little bit more in the know, Edward Morris being one of them.
He tweeted at us today with all this math. And I was like,
he's like a math genius. Like, and we love him for it. And like, that's why I don't even try to think that way about the scoring, because I know he's there doing it for me. But yeah, so there's a percentage preference, I think, when it comes to that sort of stuff. So I would just say, yeah, Edmo, let me know what you think. But that's my guess. And I think that is probably accurate, but somebody will probably tell me I'm wrong. So we'll see.
Who knows?
So let's get down to business.
Okay.
right. So this is the... Why would you want to? We are here in the semifinals, where each finalist will face two rounds. The first round being the judge's challenge, in which each judge will pair off with a couple for a one-on-one training, and they will train them in the most elaborate dance training that you've ever seen on syndicated television. The second round will be each couple will perform a dance style that we've never seen them dance to. And they will also pick a song that is inspired by something that they draw strength from, aka something that makes the audience cry. So that's where we're at. that's my synopsis of what semifinals is.
Yeah, sounds about right. And also yeah. Mario Lopez is there, because of course...
Correct. Yes. We're not sure why, but he's there.
Things, as he does.
So yeah, we're gonna as Kelly and Lita did last week, we're gonna jump into things and we're gonna do sort of not chronologically, but by dancer, just because as we've done this whole season, it is very difficult to talk about dancers without sort of spoiling who goes home at the end, and we do want to make sure that we are giving each dancer and each dance their full talking through without sort of glossing over anything. So we will start the discussion with the one, the only, Normani and Val. And their first dance, which is their judges challenge. So round one for them was a judges challenge. And they were partnered with Val's boyfriend, Len, doing a Viennese waltz, which is also Len's by far favorite dance. And they were dancing to Desperado by Rihanna, which was a great song choice. And I mean, I was obsessed with this dance, the entire thing from the glam Sex in the City. No, not Sex in the City. What's it called? Sin City, black and white filter that they put on the TV with her red gown. I was just stunned. So, you know, it was amazing, but she messed up in the beginning, so it cost her a perfect score, but whatever, y'all can just go bite it. Normani's the best.
Yeah, I completely didn't see her mess up too, so no. I was just in awe of this the whole time, and I thought it was the perfect mixture of, like, Len told them you have to not mess with the style, basically, like, do yes. a very basic, very normal Viennese waltz, yes. and Val still found a way to using storyline aesthetics and all this sort of stuff to
yeah.
put a real bent, and it wasn't just like they went to Vienna and went to a ball. It was actually, it had a story and it had a sense of theme, even though the actual choreography itself was pretty exactly. simple, and not necessarily simple, but pretty technically straightforward.
And it was stunning.
Like, it was beautiful. It was unbelievable. Stunning. I loved it so much.
And we were also introduced to the greatest love that Dance with the Stars has ever seen, which is Len and Normani's grandma, Barb.
Okay, so Len and Normani's grandmother, or Val, who was really, after this exchange, he went after this joke over and over and over.
Yeah, because it was getting the hits. It was getting the lulls from the audience. But yeah, so Grandma Barb is smooching Val on the cheek. And I mean, come on, she had
on
to
the
just
cheek.
Like, take
I don't
it.
Know about that. It was
yeah, I mean, if I was her grandma, like, my grandma would be all over this. Like, if I took my grandma to Dance with the Stars and, like, my partner was, like, Derek, like, she would be kissing him all over the place. So I think that
go ahead.
I think that she, you know what, grandma, you do you. But I think that it was so funny because they were trying to set her up with Len. They were like, Len, yeah. grandma, like, get it. It
my
was
favorite,
too funny. I
my
was
favorite
loving
part
it.
Was they went up to Aaron and Normani literally goes, "Did you kiss Val?" Like, it was just this, like, sort of teenage embarrassment, like, by her parents.
Yes,
kind of,
yes, I
like
did.
Horror on her face. It was delightful.
And Barb was like, "Duh,
of course I did. Why wouldn't? Why would I kiss Val?"
It was so funny. Oh my God. And so that was also sort of later on in the episode. We'll jump right into it. But Grandma Barb also plays a very, very strong part in Normani's second dance, because we learned that Normani, while she was dealing with her mother's breast cancer, followed by Hurricane Katrina at a very young age, you know, that her grandmother became a very, very strong influence on her, and that her family, you know, was really hurt by this whole situation. And I mean, this was heartbreaking for me. I mean, I just really felt for them. And I think that, yeah, Grandma Barb, man, she was the best. And I think that, that just made the whole thing about kissing Val and all of that just so, so cute and so fun. And this routine was perfection. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on the whole thing? I mean, it was just right up my alley.
I thought this was the most fun. It was delightful. I thought the arrangement of It's a Wonderful World was just mm-hmm. so great. The whole piece was so joyous and really, really great. I think it was really funny. Len literally said, "I don't get goosebumps." which is like, of course you don't let.
Yeah.
But he did give them a standing ovation, which is a thing he does not do basically on principle. So it was great. I love this. I also loved in the little package beforehand, Normani toured her grandma around the costume department, which made me think I would really like a like behind the scenes featurette on Dancing with the Stars. But the costume department is fascinating.
And it just makes me think like that's what my mom and my grandma, like that's what they would love to do. You know, like that would just make them so happy. And it's just like that kind of stuff just makes me really emotional because I just like would love to do that with them, you know. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this dance was really great because it did give us a nice glimpse into some of the more contemporary stuff that and the jazz stuff that Fal is able to do, which he doesn't always get a chance to emphasize on the show. And I think that was really fun to see as well. Sort of a glimpse into what we might be getting out of the freestyle next week, which I am stoked for.
Mm-hmm. Going back quickly to the Viennese waltz for just a second, mm-hmm. There was specifically Len's criticism got really technical, and it was like he was just talking straight to Val, not even really for the show.
Yes,
inside baseball terminology of like the Viennese waltz.
The Viennese and waltz. Yeah.
Question for you: do you know what a fleckle is?
No, so, I've never done a Viennese waltz, so I'm not familiar. But really I can't I say that.
It, so I have an answer.
Great.
Okay, so it's a dance step most commonly found in the Viennese waltz. Unlike the natural and reverse turns, the fleckerl, which is pronounced fleckerl, although it sound I thought Len was saying fleckle because he's British, does not move forward along the dance floor, but instead rotates on the spot. And it was just
an
interesting thing because that's such a word it's not reasonable at all to expect the audience to have any idea what you're talking about. That's not even
like
general
what a waste
ballroom
of airspace.
Step. It's specifically to the Viennese waltz. And I thought it was really, I love when they get all like very, very technical and it comes out that like, oh yeah, these are dance experts. And I like when they talk in their own little language. And so I was amused by the name check of the fleckerl. It was fun.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's definitely something that I feel like Len would want to say just to like make sure that everyone's paying attention that he knows mm-hmm. his terminology.
Yeah, it might've been a little show offy.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Len loves the Viennese waltz and he makes it very apparent in their challenge promo that's his dance that he expects perfection.
So Normani all week made one tiny little mistake and it cost her 4 points.
No,
all of a sudden
insane,
she's at the
right?
bottom. Well, obviously not quite the bottom because, you know, but for Normani, oh, well. She's like pretty far down the leaderboard, which is, I think, second place, but still.
And the mistake that she made was that she ended up, I wrote it down, she ended up coming out of a turn. She stumbled coming out of a turn. That's it.
So
a tiny little stumble coming out of a turn.
For Normani, this being like a sort of big mess up because she doesn't really have those, so it really stands out when she does. Do you think that that's going to put her or lower her chances of winning next week at all if she's coming in like really 4 points lower than you could usually expect her to be at?
Mm-hmm.
Do we
think she'll be fine?
Yeah, you think she'll be fine?
No, she's winning.
Okay, well,
come on.
God, I'm so nervous. Don't say things like that.
No, I know. But yeah, sort of moving on to our shocking finalist.
Is it really that shocking? Really?
No, it's not shocking, but I'm sad about it.
Yes. Oh, it's so, angering. I don't know that it's shocking.
Angering, yes. So David Ross and Lindsay Arnold are our second people to be seen tonight in this episode. And they are for their judges challenge. They are partnered with Julian Huff and they are dancing a foxtrot to You Make Me Feel So Young by Michael Bublé. So the incentive for this dance and being matched up with Julianne is that Julianne is obsessed with David's butt because he sticks it out because he's always squatting as a catcher and she wants him to tuck under his butt. And this is like standard dance terminology. Like when you are dancing, to dance correctly, you need to have a good under tuck. Like you just need to tuck under. It's very difficult to explain, but he can't do it. His butt sticks out. So in order to make him, I can't even like talk about this. This is the dumbest thing that's ever happened on Dancing with the Stars. She brings a bag of lemons to rehearsal and she has him stick a lemon like in between his butt cheeks and squeeze the lemons to dance. Which is like not a bad technique, but the whole thing was just like such a like such just like a ploy for like the cameras. Like I just was like not having it. I don't know about
this
you.
This is not an accepted dance technique.
Nobody asked me ever in my life to stick lemons between my butt cheeks. Just
well, I suppose that's good.
We'll have to ask Lita.
It's definitely a thing in singing. That not a lemon, but I've heard of like coins and things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sort of to keep that posture. But I just feel like David turning into a pro dancer via lemons and butt cheeks. I don't know.
But you've got to admit that he was better this week. Maybe
he was better this week. I also think Foxtrot is a good dance for him. No, yeah. I was just gonna say Foxtrot's a good dance for him.
No, it totally is. I also think that, I mean, they're all good in their own way, and I love Bruno especially, but I think that having Julianne be the coach or the judge who comes in is a big advantage, especially in, like she said, because she was a female pro. So if she goes with a couple that has a female pro, I think, well, actually either way, I think it's really valuable to have someone who not only is, I mean, they're all professional dancers, but some of them are retired professional dancers. She's a regular, like a still working professional dancer, yes, but also she knows what it is to play the game on that side of the show. And do sort of the strategy around being a pro, because there is so much more to it than just being a good choreographer and dance teacher. And she really understands that. She's won twice. She was one of the original pros, one of the original like all-star pros, the ones that everybody actually knew and was a breakout star of the show. So I think that she'd be a really valuable person to have come in and give you some advice, which I think is a real advantage.
And this was a really charming dance. I felt like he did a really good job with his top hat. And I did really enjoy I enjoyed sort of the relationship between him and Lindsay, that they really do have that father-daughter mentality going on. And I do sort of buy that. Whereas in the past, like when people say that with the older man and the younger pro, I get sort of skeeved out when people say that. With them, I really do. I feel like it's very genuine. And, you know, whether or not his messy footwork aside, it gives Len nightmares, I think he said. you know, he does put a lot of effort into his dancing and he did a very good job, I felt like. I mean, this is very similar to the harsh criticism of one Bonner Bolton from last week. You know, I think that when you get to a certain point in the competition, you know, your fans are putting you through. So you are just sort of there to do what you can do. And he is putting his all into it. And, you know, our expectations are high, but I think that he's doing a really good job with what he's given. So, yeah. And I know that sounds terrible, but, I swear it's nice. Sorry, listeners. I do love him. I think he's a great guy. It's just hard because these are the semifinals and I want to see some people do some like fancy footwork.
Yeah, I think actually Len said it well when he said, look, it's my heart versus my head. I really want to be able to give you a good score, but like we just have to face the facts here. And it's actually not the judges. And this is something that's been bothering me for weeks now. The judges have consistently been giving too high of scores to the people who aren't dancing that well. And they know they're not dancing that well. They're just voting with their heart. And then when it comes to the front runners, they're voting with their head and they're being really critical of them, which is all well and good. And if the judges picked who got to go home, that'd be fine, except that they can't afford to be putting the judges' scores that close of a race and really putting that much power into the fan vote and then complaining when the fan vote doesn't go their way, because they have been complaining when the fan vote doesn't go their way.
Exactly.
Like they have to choose. They either have to not care at all who goes home and call it a popularity contest and whatever, or they have to really give them the scores they actually deserve really harshly, to create more of a divide between the people who should be staying.
Because realistically, this should have been like fives and sixes and, you know, like it wasn't. Yeah. It was sevens and eights. So it's like
even just the whole season long, they don't go below five. We've seen like 2 fours ever in the show. Like people should be able to get twos. It should be on the paddle somewhere. Like I bet they don't even make.
They don't even have those paddles.
Yeah. So it's sort of funny. It's a weird reality because then they all act so shocked and so outraged when the vote doesn't go their way. But if you keep giving, like they gave David nines, and then for the tango,
I forgot. So bad.
This is insane. For the tango, Carrie Ann does her whole "your foot came off, it was a lift" thing, and then proceeds to give him a nine. So this is what she's saying: Carrie Ann was going to give him a 10 for that tango.
Such a joke.
Oh my god, that's actually crazy.
Yeah, speaking of the tango, moving on. So David and Lindsay dance to a tango for their meaningful pack. I don't even know what to call these. Like, I'm not even sure what the point of these are, but they're meaningful. They're like moments that make us who they are situations or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, it's almost like they're repeating like the best year of our life type thing. But yeah.
It's a here's my story in case you forgot who I was.
Yeah. Anyway, they do a tango to Castle on the Hill by Ed Sheeran. And may I add that that is becoming one of my most favorite songs ever. It makes me super emotional. So when this package started, like I got real emotional right off the bat because I was like, great, now I'm going to cry because this song is super emotional. And they're talking about how he's a dad and how he won the World Series. And I was just like, God, this is like a heart wrencher. And then they're talking about Lindsay and how, gosh, how she's just like, he's like my dad and how blah, 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 blah. Either way, I mean, they had me at the package, so they could have danced. They could have gone out and done the chicken dance and I would have been like, whatever, give them sixes.
Was really interesting, though, the package, because it showed that he wasn't always a popular player. He had attitude problems and like he was considered a bad guy and not a good teammate. And I was like, whoa. As someone who David Ross entered her consciousness like literally 2 months ago,
this year.
and even most people, he entered their consciousness just around the playoffs this year. And so he's known as this incredibly jovial, you know, exactly the guy he's been showing us he is. And so I was like, this blows my mind that he had an entirely different reputation and he totally turned it around. I didn't think that was a thing people could do. I figure you are who you are and people with bad attitudes are always going to be Jose Bautista. Sorry. But apparently you can turn it around, become a good teammate, and eventually become David Ross, which is shocking.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like this dance was probably one of his better dances, but I honestly didn't care because it was just like, it was really heartwarming, just the whole thing. So, his effort is showing. I feel like he did fine, but also, again, I did not care. So,
yeah,
I was just like, oh, so cute, like as I'm crying, like emotionally.
We had someone on Twitter last week who was saying, love the podcast, but the David Ross hate has got to stop. And
we don't hate him.
And he said, will you at least be nice to him next week for his boot episode? And here's the thing.
What
I said in response was, it was Tom O'Connell. This is what he said. He said, I enjoyed the heck out of the podcast, but the David Ross hate makes me sad. So please, next week on his boot episode, just say some nice stuff. And what I said in return was, we will absolutely say, if he goes home next week, it will be a fond farewell and we will look back fondly. But if he doesn't, we get to pick on him. That's not paraphrased. And well, come on, guys.
Honestly, I don't know why everyone thinks we hate David Ross. We just don't think he's a good dancer, and like this is Dancing with the Stars. Like we think he's the coolest and we think he's super sweet.
Yes. I also to clarify, other than occasionally Len, but not even always Len, I don't hate anyone on Dancing with the Stars. They're fine.
Why did you hate
they're lovely. They're on Dancing with the Stars. Oh, and I hated Bonner.
Also, when we say hate, like, we're talking about reality television competition where people dance.
Yeah, like who cares? It's a strong word. But, like, I really actively disliked Bonner. But other than that, like, everybody else is a perfectly nice, very charming, lovely person. It's just a matter of where they stack up and how far we think they should go. Exactly. And how good their tango was, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opinion-based podcast and everyone has their opinion. So if we've offended you by our David Ross hate speech, I apologize. But this was a really emotional song for me. And I really felt emotionally attached to David Ross during this time. And I'm happy to see him stay for another week, I guess.
Are you really?
No, I'm really not. I don't care. anyway, moving on to the saddest time that's ever happened on Dancing with the Stars. Just kidding. That was Heather Morris. Simone and Sasha, for their first dance, are dancing a jive to Faith by Stevie Wonder featuring Ariana Grande, which I didn't realize that was a thing. But when I looked it up, it's Faith by Stevie Wonder featuring Ariana Grande. Simone, her package was a little rough. I felt really sad when I was watching it because she was super upset and she felt like she's trying her hardest and it just isn't good enough. And I was just super upset about that. And I'm going to get angry right now because, hey, you are an Olympic gymnast. You have 5 bajillion gold medals. And this, like, girlfriend, it's fine. Like, it's just Dancing with the Stars. Like, you are totally good enough.
Yeah, I do find that. I do find that a little upsetting that she.
It just made me sad that she got that sad about it.
Well, okay. So on one hand, I totally understand the frustration because the way to fix her particular criteria or her particular thing that was being criticized was not effort. She couldn't try any harder to fix it. It was not an effort issue. In fact, it was almost like she needed to try less hard. And that's not something she understands how to do, which is also
or that she should do. I don't think she should do that.
Well, so I understand. And we said this about Sasha a couple weeks ago, where he just kept trying to push her in this one direction. And he kept seeming to think that the way to get there was to just push harder and break her through a wall.
Right.
That wasn't the answer. He had to open up a different door. And I think that she was just frustrated because she literally couldn't push any harder in that one direction. And she didn't know that there were other directions. And that's totally frustrating. And that's really relatable. But I do find it really upsetting anytime somebody does poorly on Dancing with the Stars or on whatever other thing, and they let that really fairly trivial thing undermine their sense of self-worth when the reason they got onto that other thing, Dancing with the Stars or whatever, is because they're exceptional in some other area. Like, you're Simone Biles. You should never feel bad about yourself ever. You are the most celebrated gymnast in the history of the world. Don't let Dancing with the Stars make you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, and I think Sasha does a really, there was like a really sweet moment between her and Sasha where he even says to her, he's like, she says it's not good enough. And Sasha's like, no, it is good enough. And I really was like, I appreciated him in that moment because sometimes he doesn't have the best ability to be human with his interactions. Like, he's very robotic in his teaching style. And I felt like that was, you know, he does tell her that I think that they finally did come together as a good partnership, whether it not on the dance floor necessarily, but in the rehearsal space, I did feel that they were connecting a little bit more. So I was appreciative of that. And I think that, you know, Carrie Ann coming in and letting her, you know, let loose and teaching her how to, it was cute. I felt like it was a little silly, but I mean, it showed some personality that we haven't necessarily seen. You know, whether or not they have the connection on the dance floor, it doesn't really matter at this point because she was able to sort of push through that barrier of like tenseness that she felt, I hope.
Yeah, I wonder if a lot of the issues Sasha had with her this year had to do with her age. And I don't think Sasha's had any young contestants before.
It's possible, yeah.
He's had Snooki and Tara Jolet, and those are the only ones off the top of my head I can remember him having. And they were both a little bit older. And so I wonder if having gone through this with Simone and having really sort of started to figure it out by the end of the season, and you could really see this, I thought, in their second dance where he didn't push the sex too much. They seemed really connected. The first dance was just fun. But I think that they really started to figure it out by the end of the season. And I wonder if that's going to really show next time he has a younger contestant, if he's going to be know better how to handle someone with that kind of maturity level. That's not really necessarily what he's used to, because like we kept comparing mm-hmm. them to Lori Hernandez and Val last year, but that was like right. Val's third really young contestant. And I think that he was used to it at this point.
And they're different people. Like you can't say Lori Hernandez just because she's the gymnast is going to be the same as Simone Biles. Like they're different humans. So
no, I meant just that, you know, because
right. Yeah.
Although Randy Nupple did ask this in the patron group. He said, would Simone mm-hmm. have done better with public voting perception had Lori not been so damn charming and talented last season? And I totally agree with that. I think that Lori was a really big surprise, and she was a real character standout and a dance standout. And I think that Simone, who is, you know, a more celebrated gymnast than Lori, so she probably is even more intense in the practice room, I think that hurt her. And then they also just have different personalities to begin with. And I think the direct comparison and the fact that Lori got to go right after the Olympics, whereas Simone went sort of after the Olympics had died down a little bit. I think the comparison did not help her out.
Yeah.
I thought that was really a good question.
Yeah. So her first dance was by far the most fun dance of the night, I would say. She did a jive to Faith by Stevie Wonder. And she and Sasha were just like going cuckoo, and she really, this was the first time in my opinion that I really felt her letting loose. And she like, and I don't mean like letting loose like her personally, but I felt like she was really enjoying herself on stage, and the hair flipping and all of that.
Yeah,
I think she actually had fun, and I felt like she did a really good job with the dance. And, you know, whether or not, you know, the judges were just sort of appeasing her, I think the tens were warranted for sure. So she got all tens in her first dance. And then we get to her second dance, which was a Roomba by and then she did that to Skyscraper by Demi Lovato, which is another tearjerker for me. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a point when this song came out where Demi Lovato came on Dancing with the Stars and she sang Skyscraper like in the middle of the stage on like a big like scaffolding, and they like had to dance to it. But I just like remember that.
I don't remember that, but that sounds awesome.
It was really awesome. Anyway, so her sort of package for this was all about her sacrificing herself, or sacrificing a lot to go after her dream of the Olympic gold. I didn't know a lot of this. I mean, I guess I knew a little bit about it, but they always have a really good way of emphasizing, new information on this show, where it's like in a perfect way to rip your heart out. Like it's information that I knew, but they do it in a way where they're like, oh, you knew this, but we're going to tell it in a new way so that you feel sad and vulnerable. So they're like, you know, Simone, you know, she decides, you know, instead of she has to make a big decision and she goes after the gold and she makes the Olympic team. And that's her big moment. You know, and she dances this really, really soulful dance, and it does a Roomba, which is supposed to be a very sensual dance. But I think she does it just, I would say soulful instead of sensual. And I think she does it really, really well. And I felt like it was a perfect score type of situation. And I also really liked getting all of the commentary from other gymnasts, who just say that she's like the best of the best, like Mary Lou Retton saying that like she's the best gymnast on planet Earth was like amazing to me.
Yeah, I thought that, well, that was very impressive. And I also thought that your comment that it was soulful, not sexy, well, not that it was not sexy, but soulful over sexy, was very apt. And it really captures what worked about this Roomba, that I was nervous about Simone doing a Roomba.
Yes.
And I think that that's exactly why it worked. And she had a perfect night, right?
Yeah, she did. She sure did.
Until the twist. But score wise, she had an absolutely perfect night. And also personality wise, I thought she did. She really broke out.
I agree.
And yeah. I think that if this had happened last week, we'd be talking about a whole different scenario.
Yeah. Last week was, I mean, I wasn't here last week, but like I watched the episode, listened to the podcast, but like I'm kind of glad I wasn't on the podcast last week because there was a lot of stuff that I would have just been like furious about, including Bonner and his like apparent like ability to be sort of an abusive man. But anyway, moving on.
His horrible secretary dance.
No, not even that. Like during his during his rehearsal where he like walks out.
When he was just mean to Sharna. Like,
and he's like an abusive man. I was like really upset.
Yeah. I mean, everyone shows their cards eventually when they show you who they are, anyway. Believe them the first time. We knew this. Yeah,
no, I mean, he's never really been like the most emotional man on the planet Earth. So not shocked. But anyway, Rashad and Emma, moving on to our last couple of the evening, and then we'll memorialize our finalist or semifinalist that went home. So Rashad and Emma, they start off with our final judge that they get for their challenge is Bruno, which I think is just so amazing. Cause Bruno and Rashad just seem like they would be like the best, like buddy cop, like show ever. But they're doing a rumba to Say You Won't Let Go by James Arthur. And they basically get a dance lesson from Bruno on extending Rashad's limbs, which is something that I've talked about quite a bit throughout this podcast, because that's something that I feel like a lot of the celebrities have challenges with, is just sort of like extension through the arms, like the movement and pushing it through. Bruno throws a football and it's terrifying. And that's really the lesson we take away from this segment.
I gotta say, I love serious Bruno. I mean, he's never super serious, but when he's like buckled down, he's giving practical advice and he's just sort of, he's
technical Bruno.
Yeah. And he's not playing it up for the cameras. He's just sort of existing and talking to someone as a person. I just think he's so smart. And I think it really shows off what is underlying all the craziness at all times. I think he's a really, really good judge and he doesn't get necessarily the credit he deserves. But he also, bonus, was wearing blue suede shoes when he went to this rehearsal.
Of course he was. And he's a caricature. He's such a weirdo. And I love it.
I thought also about this first dance. Did you notice the lights were blocking a lot of the dance?
Yes.
It was
I found it actually very, very difficult to watch this dance because they were all in white as well, which was very challenging. I find that to be distracting because it makes their movements very, very like pointed. It like draws your attention to certain areas and it's not always the areas you want to be looking at. And then, yeah, the lighting was like blocking their legs at certain points. And it was like, OK, well, I guess I'll just look at their faces then, like whatever. But Julianne has a comment towards the end of the judging where she says this is something as a pro dancer who's been on this show that she felt like Emma was able to let go and fully express herself as a female pro dancer, which is not always the case when you have a celebrity that's a male, because usually when you have a celebrity that's a male, the female really needs to be back leading them because they don't know what they're doing. But she felt like Emma was able to let go quite a bit and fully express herself. It was more like a partnership, which was, I think, a really, really high pointed commentary about how advanced Rashad is at his ability to just sort of take steps and express them, you know, and not necessarily have to like rely on the partner to like guide him during the night of. So that was great.
Yep. No, I totally agree. I thought this was excellent. I love also the next number he did, which was the quick step, which Carrie Ann said that she'd been waiting for him to get the quick step because it's the perfect piece for him.
His feet are quick, yo.
Right? I just love him. I think that this had a fun opening. It was delightful. Although, so this is where we get into the Len just explosion of the evening. And I wonder sometimes, like, this is the last dance of the evening, whether it was just building up the whole time and he was keeping some of it in, or what exactly happened here. But basically, yeah, Carrie Ann and Julianne,
like, I don't know what happened.
He just flipped out. And this really bothered me. And this is sort of like, I've come out and been like, I hate Len, but then I often will quote Len and agree with Len in certain things. So it's confusing. But this is why I don't like Len. And I feel like this underlines everything he ever does. And it's this idea that if he doesn't agree with you, he just kind of thinks you're stupid. And the way he spoke to Julie in here, where he tried to undermine what she was saying, excuse me, she's an expert and she's absolutely qualified to give her opinion here. If she liked it, that's too bad for you. And I love that she would not let him get in there.
He tried to interrupt her
and she was just like, I will express my opinion. Thank you very much. She wasn't intimidated at all. And Julianne's like still quite young. She's the only new judge.
She's only like 20. I think she's the same age as me. She's 28.
Yeah, crazy. Exactly. And she's the only one who's not an original judge. Like a lot of people in her position would have backed down when the quote unquote head judge gives her a hard time. And he was just like right on her and she didn't back off. And I thought that was really incredible. And
Len was clearly sleepy and ready to go home. Like what did he say? So his thing was
like grumpiness. It felt like anger, like built up, just like, why don't people agree with me? How dare you idiots exist? And it drove me crazy.
So his whole thing was that he felt like there was too much positivity being thrown at Rashad, basically, like that he felt like it was too. And I think I read that on a recap that he felt like everyone was being too nice to Rashad, like nobody was giving him any sort of dance criticism, whereas Len was saying like that he felt like Rashad's frame wasn't quite there yet, but that his quick step is fast and furious and he's not sure that his frame is quite right, but his footwork was fine, but everyone else was like they just felt like it was really great because he was a force to be reckoned with, and that was their feedback. Like they didn't give him any critical feedback, so which was fine. Like it was the end of the night, like, you know what, at this point in the competition he knows what he needs to be working on, and he knows that he doesn't need like the specifics, you know? But either way, this was a great quick step. And I learned a lot about Rashad again. I mean, I didn't know that he had like a learning disability and was diagnosed with like all these issues, and like that his brothers were coaches at his school to pay for his tuition and like all this stuff. Like he's just like a book. And it like we're just reading it, and I feel like Len is barking up the wrong tree if he's trying to tear somebody down.
You know what? I don't mind.
Not Rashad.
I agree that certain contestants need, actually all the contestants, all of them, I agree that they need specific criticism. I don't like,
yes.
And something that did happen, and we talked about this early in previous episodes, but something that happened to Rashad early on was that he really impressed them and they started praising him and saying that was wonderful. And because they didn't give him any criticism, he didn't know exactly what to improve. And so he hasn't really improved at the rate that some of the others have. He sort of plateaued. He started out strong. And so that's why he's still strong. In the last 2 weeks, I think that's not true anymore. I think especially this week, he came a really long way in terms of his extensions. And I think Bruno really helped him out. But it was the tone. It was not necessarily that he was wrong, because I do think that, as previously stated with David scores, I do think it's the judge's responsibility to be really realistic about who's actually doing a great job and who's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And really different, especially in the last couple weeks, differentiating those things. And I also do think with at least another week left of competition, specific criticism on things like his frame, that's fine. Totally down for that.
But there's no reason to be harsh about other people being positive.
Exactly. It was the tone. It was this idea that positivity is bad, because you can be positive and critical at the same time, and that's something I think Bruno does really
well.
Sometimes
timing is an issue.
Yeah, you know. And I also felt that it was at the end of the episode, so it was all like it was how he felt about David, and he was taking it out on Rashad, and it was specifically also the targeting of Julianne, and I was like, excuse you, but your time is over, and you were allowed to say your criticism in your time, but you can't jump on Julianne because she's as much of an expert. Like, leave her alone.
Exactly. And then it just becomes like, why even bother making a comment? Because it's the end of the night. Tom is, you know, tapping his watch, like, you guys got to hurry up. So Carrie Ann and Julianne are just, you know, they're going to make the comment that means the most to them. And that's to push the positivity. And Len is going to make the comment that he feels is the best to him, which is to push the technical thing.
And that's why you have a balanced panel, right? Like, you need different voices.
Yeah. And I'm sure if they had 10 minutes each, Julianne would give the positivity and she would give technical commentary, but they don't have that much time. So that's just what it is. So he loses a point because of whatever. And he's 39 out of 40 for that one. But I mean, I feel like overall Rashad really killed it. And Emma, I'm just so proud of her. She's doing so good. And I'm just so excited that she has an opportunity to be in the finals again and just like be with somebody who's really has an opportunity to take it all.
Isn't this her first time in the finals?
I thought Bill
got like fifth place or something.
Yes, exactly. When I say finals, I mean all of the versions of finals.
Yeah, like you're near the end. I'm excited to see what she does for a freestyle. Who knows what Emma's going to pull out.
So cool. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, we had some cool, you know, just before we get to the elimination, we had some cool interstitials throughout the evening. I'm not really sure why they're doing this right now, but they had some people performing throughout the night, one of them being Callum Scott, who is a performer that I am extremely unfamiliar with. And he did a cover of Dancing on My Own. But we did get to see, I only wrote this one down because we saw this gorgeous dance routine where Whitney and Artem did a dance to that song, and it was so good. So if you didn't get a chance to see that, I would say try and find it on YouTube or whatever. It was an interstitial in between where Callum Scott did a cover of Dancing on My Own and Whitney and Artem blew the house down with just a dance routine. And we also got a little, we got another dance at some point in between with somebody else singing, but those were fun. I'm not really sure why they're throwing them in there, I guess for time, but
yeah, we just don't have enough contestants anymore is all.
Yeah, I mean, usually at that point they just added more dances with the contestants, but I guess they just don't want to.
David would collapse.
He would die. Anyway, you know, instead of more dances, we unfortunately have to eliminate somebody. And as everyone knows, that is going to be the lovely Simone and Sasha. But they announced that Normani and Val and Rashad and Emma are safe. And Simone ends up going home. And really, it is the most dramatic saying goodbye that I've seen on this competition in a while. It is complete silence for a good 2 seconds. Tom asks her to come down and he says, I'm not even going to say anything. Do you have anything to say to the camera? Because I'm in shock right now. And everyone gives her a standing ovation and she's like, no. And she's super, super good about the whole thing. She's like, yeah, I had a really great experience, blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, I'm shocked. I don't have anything to say. This is ridiculous. Like, he's almost like, this is crazy. Like, go take center stage. Like, it was so weird. Like, he should have been prepared for it to be anybody. Like, how strange was that?
Well, I sort of always assumed, and there was a debate about this on the patron group, where I've always assumed that they told the judges and the host beforehand. But I don't believe that, and Scott was arguing in Scott St. Pierre, our wonderful producer, was saying in the patron group that he doesn't buy for a second that they don't know that who's going home. But I don't know that all of these people are that good of actors. Like, they looked genuinely shocked. And also, like,
the judges were pissed
in a way that if they had known ahead of time and this was acting, I don't think that anger would have been in there, because I think they would have tried to be like, it's fine. And it's acceptable. And this is part of the game. And like, also, cause the anger sort of is a strange thing to put, to do in front
of
David.
Like, that sort of like shock. And then like, clap, 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 you know, like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, that's sort of like, I think you won, like, congrats. Yeah.
Would have been a bit more sensitive to like the fact that David's right there and it's sort of awkward. So
Len
honestly
put his head down on the table, which he just like put his head down. Yeah. It was just so weird. Yeah. I don't think they knew. I mean, I agree with Scott that typically in these instances, like my judgment and my sort of gut feeling would be, yes, they probably know. But from watching this segment, I don't think they knew. And that's just all I'm going off of, which could be completely wrong.
Which
you
is
know?
Also fascinating, though, because like on one hand, so I don't think they told them, which is a thing I'd always assumed they did. But on the other hand, I mean, I saw this coming. Did you not see this coming?
Because I saw it coming. I was hoping for the best. I mean, I feel like in the instance that it would happen, I knew it would be Simone. I mean, I don't think Rashad or Normani were going home just based off of their dancing ability. I think that when it gets down to this point, America is picking the people that are killing it, that are doing the cool dances and they're dancing really well. And then they're picking the person that they like the most. And Simone just wasn't in either of those categories. Yeah. So, you know, I think that David was always coming. And if he wasn't, then, I mean, he wasn't, but I sort of saw it coming for sure. I was hopeful, naively hopeful, but no, I wasn't shocked, you know?
And at the, you know,
I wasn't Alen about it.
If at the beginning of the episode, I was sort of like, oh, Simone will go home tonight. By the end of the episode, I mean, of course, tonight. Tonight's scores have no influence on tonight's elimination, which I think should be fixed. I think it should be last week's votes and this week's scores, just so you have a chance to save yourself. By the end, I don't know. I was sort of starting to doubt it by the end of the episode, but I had gone in assuming she was going home because honestly, and you know, I love Normani and I also love Rashad, and Normani should have won this thing in week two. But I'm starting to think David Ross is going to be the winner of this season of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I mean, that would be just ridiculous to me, but I wouldn't be shocked. I think that it would be just very sad because I think that he would be upset with himself as well. I don't think that he would be happy. I think that he would just be like almost like embarrassed. Like, it's almost like the Bonner Bolton of it all. Like last week, like when I was watching last week's episode of Dancing with the Stars, like Bonner made me so sad because he was like, my fans have me here and like, you guys just stop voting for me. Like, I don't want to be here. I'm not a good dancer and this sucks. Like, you know, whereas like with David, like he does want to be there because it's fun for him, but he's just like, oh man, like I feel like that would be embarrassing.
Yeah, it'd be so awkward, but I also think it's very possible.
Yeah.
Like Normani, I really want to know about the demographics because if there's a young woman demographic, you've got to think they've been voting for Normani pretty consistently.
Yeah.
And I also really strongly feel that they should do when they do the In Jeopardy thing, it should actually be the person who's in Jeopardy so that we have a sense of how the season is going and who needs more votes. Because I can't tell at this point, like maybe Normani has been way ahead in the votes the whole time and it's just that she's never been in danger, so it doesn't matter. Like David's getting, you know, the third most votes every week, which is still a lot. It's too many.
Yeah.
But it's not actually a threat to Normani and Rashad, but we can't tell because we have no sense of who's in the bottom. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I think that for us, we're both on the same page. I think that for me, I mean, I'm on the Normani train, but I would be happy with the Rashad win as well. I think that, you know, I would be upset if David won. I would just be disappointed, but I wouldn't be surprised. So what are you looking forward to most in the finale episode?
I think probably Emma's freestyle. Because we don't know what to expect from her. We have seen quite a few freestyles from Val. And so even though I'm sure it will be amazing, I kind of have an idea of what to expect from that. And actually, we've seen a bunch of freestyles from Lindsay. And Lindsay's an excellent freestyle choreographer. So even though she's actually never had Megatron was pretty good. But she doesn't tend to have a dancer who can really, really execute a freestyle. She's always very interesting freestyles. The guy, I can never remember his last name, but Alec from a few seasons ago, the guy who was I think he was a Marine and he'd done the train rescue. the hero mm-hmm. guy. They did that incredible freestyle with the wall where they like climbed up the wall. It was extraordinary.
Yeah, so this is, I have a feeling that she's going to have a lot of gimmicks. Like it's going to either be like really elaborate or there's going to be a lot of people.
Yeah.
She's going to have to hide him.
She's very creative with freestyle. She really thinks outside of the box. So it'll be fun to see hers, even though it won't be as well danced. So between those two things, I'm really excited about Emma because I think that'll be a, who knows Same. What she's going to come up with. And I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that for me, I'm also excited about the freestyles. And, you know, I think that hopefully, you know, we will see some good dances and we'll get some good results. For our listeners out there, just as a few notes, we will have the episode on Monday, which will be the content episode. And then we'll have the episode of Tuesday, which will be the results episode. We're not sure scheduling wise when we will be recording, but we will hopefully be joined by a special guest, possibly two special guests. We're going to have a big Dancing with the Stars finale blowout here on Rehab Ups. Yeah. So what else are you up to, Kelly? What are your Twitter handles? Where can we find you on the internet?
Well, you can find all of my writing and all of that jazz at myentertainmentworld.ca. That's my website. And we do lots of TV coverage, also theater, film, music, game, sports, books, blah, 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 blah. And then my Twitter handle is at myentworld, my E-N-T world. And it's the website's Twitter, but I run it. So that's all me there. And that's where all my thoughts on reality TV, etc., can be found.
Perfect. And you can find me at Ange Pelagi on Twitter and Instagram. I have been doing a lot of podcasting. I was just recently on the Jay and Jet Network on The Broadcast, which is a sweet lady podcast. So you guys can find me on that. And then I am also, you know, hopefully going to be doing some more stuff. I don't know. We'll see. But just for all of our Bachelor friends out there, Bachelorette starts next week on ABC with Rachel.
Very excited.
Hopefully Haley and Amy will be back in it to win it with recaps for that. Just plugging them because they're our ladies. But yeah, so that's probably the reason that we're a little delayed, you know, content wise as well. That starts Monday at 9, you know, gotta love ABC. But yeah, until next week, send us your questions on Twitter, hit us up. We're here. And we will see you on the dance floor. Have a good night.
Bye guys.